name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Journey with our Lord Jesus Christ long enough, and you're going to encounter one, if not both, of the following experiences. You'll go through a season of your life in suffering, where suffering falls upon you when you pray, and when you cry out to God for mercy and assistance, your prayers will seem to be met with silence. Sometimes the suffering during those times even increases, and yet God still seems silent to us. Or you'll go through a period of time, just normal time, no matter how much you pray and faithfully attend all of the services, God seems to be on another planet somewhere. Seems very distant, as if He's not close to us. I've experienced both of these, sometimes numerous times in my life. And I've never known one Christian who follows our Lord Jesus Christ who has not gone through one or both of these circumstances during the journey of their salvation. And we're left in those times wondering, why is God being so silent? Why does He seem so distant? Why doesn't He hear my cry for mercy and act on my behalf to relieve me? And on this second Sunday of Lent, it's good for us to be reminded that God's wisdom and His means of saving and healing our souls and giving us His great mercy goes far beyond our human sensibilities and understanding. Far beyond. He does not save us. He does not heal us using our self-diagnosis and our own prescriptions the way that we believe He should do so. He alone is the great physician who, by His great love for us, performs whatever precise surgery is needed at various times in our life to truly bring us to healing, that is, to bring us closer and closer to Himself, the source of all life and salvation. And we see this today in a passage where some would ask the question, in fact, some were asking the question for sure in their minds and hearts, why is Jesus Christ, this healer, being so cruel to this woman filled with suffering? Our gospel reading cuts from Matthew, St. Matthew 15. We're told that Jesus goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon. This is the region of the Gentiles. And a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, not a Jew, cries out to our Lord, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is demon-possessed." Now, I want you to picture what this would have felt like and what this would have sounded like. That word, she cried out to Jesus. When it says she cried out to Him, picture a loud, desperate, almost piercing cry of a mother who desperately wanted her daughter saved, who was in great danger. You've seen this. You've heard a mother cry in such desperation and emotion, wanting the relief or the saving of their child. This is what's being experienced. It would have been an abrupt, piercing cry that everyone would have been alarmed by. And that cry, listen to this, is met with this from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's met with silence. In fact, many of the translations say, but He ignored her. But He ignored her. The disciples asked the Lord to send her away, not because they were being cruel or because they were lacking of feeling. It's because they were filled with feeling. Her piercing cry and desperation were more than their humanity could take. It unnerved them, and Jesus was doing nothing about it, so they'd rather her be sent away than to deal with such pain in front of them. That's what's going on. And then Jesus speaks to His disciples loud enough for her to hear, "I was not sent to the Gentiles. I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." So now, not only silence, but a statement that would seem to deny this woman the great mercy that she and her daughter needed because she was a Gentile. Does that seem like our Lord? It doesn't seem like our Lord at all to us. To us. But she did not leave offended. She did not run away hurt and in anger. Rather, we're told that she moved closer to Jesus. She fell at his feet, and it says, worshipped him. Fell at his feet and said, cried out again, Lord, help me. And now you'd think Jesus has what he's looking for. Now he's going to act on her behalf and release her from her pain by releasing her daughter. But Jesus then says this, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay. If I'm one of Jesus' disciples in that moment, in that scene, I'm thinking, did he just say what I think he just said to this woman in great pain? How could he say such a thing? This is not like him. Or if I kept my silence, I might want to get away from that scene really quickly, shrinking away at the uncomfortable statement that Jesus just made to a woman that needs compassion and mercy. In our limited estimation, this woman should have gone away quickly in painful disappointment or anger or offense from what Jesus just said. But she did not. Instead, she continues with him. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And our Lord immediately turns to her and says, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What did we just see happen here? You have just witnessed the precision of surgery performed by the great physician of the soul in order to do what was in his mind and in his heart for this woman all along before she said one word, before her daughter was even demon-possessed. The great I Am knew all of these things, but the soil in her soul is what he knew. And he knew that it needed to be churned up some way, that it needed to be opened up, that she may receive all that he truly wanted to offer her, that it would take root in her life and bear the fruit of salvation in her soul. And only Christ can see the depths of every human soul, precisely what is necessary in her and in all of us, what we really need in order to receive the fullness of all that he truly wants to offer. A bishop in the 4th century in Cyprus, Epiphanius, taught on this passage. He said, therefore, this woman besought the Lord on behalf of her daughter, but he did not answer a word. It was not that the Lord was unwilling to heal her, but that he might reveal her great faith and humility. Christ was doing what was necessary to grant her a deeper faith through her suffering, and a faith that would now come to the surface and it would blossom. And now it was a faith that he could join himself to and give her the mercy and deliverance that she truly needed. Saint Augustine says it this way. She therefore cried out, eager to get help, and kept insisting, but she was ignored. Not that mercy might be denied, but that the desire within her might be enkindled. And not only that desire might be enkindled, but as I said before, that humility might be raised up. She was ignored so that her desire and desperation for Christ would grow and would come to the surface, and at the same time of our Lord's silence in what we would call rudeness. The Lord is writing into her soul a great virtue, a great faith, a great humility. He's writing himself into her. This woman experienced the silence of God when she cried out to him. And she experienced an increase of suffering when for a time not only did he not act on her behalf, but even seemed to reject her personally. And all of this quite intentional by our Lord for her. With love for her and for her daughter, that her soul might open up and be drawn more to him with a greater and greater desperation that would be satisfied, and only by him. What do we learn from this? In times where God seems distant or silent, even when it feels like we're being ignored while our suffering continues to grow, or in those times and seasons in life where Christ absolutely feels like he is 1,000 miles away, so very distant. First is this: when the woman was ignored, when her piercing cry was met with silence, what did she do? We tend to give up so easily. We have taken on the culture and mentality of this world, which is a fast food mentality and framework, and we placed it upon our spirituality, and it's very unhealthy, and it denies us the great works of God. So our limited and our broken humanity often wants to give up out of frustration or exasperation in our circumstances, and then we seek and we're deceived into finding very dangerous means of escapism to cope instead. But not so this woman. She moved closer to Jesus in his silence, and she fell at his feet, worshiping him, continuing her cry, "Lord, help me." That's the path of the Christian. That's the path of our salvation. And what about when the woman's suffering was increased by the sense that Jesus was forsaking her, denying her what she thought and what she absolutely needed? Again, we are so easily offended by God when he does not do things the way we think he should do them in our lives and in the time in which we think that he should perform them. But not this woman. Again, even in the rejection, she endured his silence and the perceived neglect, and it produced a greater desperation for him, true faith and humility. She simply, the whole time in the story, you only see one action. She keeps moving closer to him. She keeps moving closer to him, and she never stops. And though she did not know it until after he had acted, as she was relentlessly moving toward Christ in all the silence, in all the frustration, and in all of her pain, all along he is writing and crafting something so very eternal in her soul. How do we live in Christ, toward Christ, when he's silent? Silent in normal stages, silent in growing sufferings. I turn you to the words of our Lord from the Gospel of St. Matthew 18 when he told the parable of the persistent widow. This is how we are to live towards Christ, when he seems near and dear to us and when he seems so very far away. Jesus' words: there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he did nothing for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And then Jesus says, "Do you hear what the unjust judge said? And shall God not avenge his own who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them, and speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find this faith in the earth?" The faith that keeps coming. That's the faith. When God feels distant, when we suffer, and even in the increase of our sufferings, I leave you with these two thoughts. Number one, let go of how you think the Savior of your soul should deliver you. Let it go. Check your preconceived ideas at the door, because they are so, so very limited. We cannot know the wisdom and the mind of Christ over our own souls. We must entrust ourselves to him. And secondly, never, ever stop. Never give up. Keep moving by to Christ, entrusting him that by his nature and from who he is doing something eternal, and he is doing something glorious within you to grant you great mercy, to save your soul, and to produce a harvest of the kingdom of God within you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.